Pomp and Show, Joe Show goes on. Austin is behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-98-9370. I want to remind you that Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Win Paramount Plus or visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Also, fan Twitter, South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, SouthHillsKia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Let's continue around the NFL. And so we have two games to talk about, limits, and also one yet to be played. We'll talk first about the Packers and Lions. That was a showcase game, second game of the doubleheader on CBS. And the Lions have lost both coordinators, and I think it showed a little bit yesterday. And the Packers are loaded. That's a team I think will win it all this year. They're loaded to do it. Jordan Love, 2 touchdowns. He was really good in the passing game. I think outperformed Jared Goff. They add Micah Parsons to it. I expected a Packers win, but maybe not this easily.
I'm concerned about those Lions a little bit, Bob. I had them going to the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills. That is my Super Bowl pick. But not a good start, and I guess it does matter significantly when you lose your coordinators. We saw that transpire with Philadelphia a couple of years ago. Jordan Love can play, man, and that's why I picked him to win the MVP last year. He got hurt this year, off to a really good start. Micah Parsons didn't do much, but did impact the game at times with pretty good pressures.
Yeah, he did. He got a sack. He had 3 pressures. 16 of 22 was Jordan Love. 2 touchdowns, modest yardage, but he didn't turn the ball over. He did everything that a starting quarterback should do in a big game like that. It didn't lose the game. He went out there and won the game and managed it very well. All right, so they're 1-0. Let's go to the other game we haven't talked about, Texans and the Rams. And the Texans had all sorts of problems in this game. The Rams, were trailing, came back with a third-quarter touchdown. Matthew Stafford goes over 60,000 career yards. 14-9. I'm not sold on either of these teams. I don't think the Rams nor the Texans will make the playoffs.
Yeah, Stafford, the 10th quarterback in history to reach 60,000. You don't think that they're even going to make it?
No.
Wow. I'm surprised
Joe
by that.
Joe wanted bold picks the other day, so I said, okay, I'll go bold on you. That doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but if you want bold, I'll be bold.
That's bold. Some people have the Rams going like to the NFC Championship.
They do. I'm not sold.
That is bold. I like it. I like the Rams. I think him and – if Stafford can stay healthy, him and Puka Nacua – are a really good duo. Plus, is Devontae Adams going to become a factor?
He had a couple of catches. Nothing significant yesterday.
He had 4 for 51. Puka was, of course, great. 10 for 130. I like Kyren Williams in their running game. That's a good team.
Yeah,
Houston, I have my questions. Houston, I have some questions.
But I just don't think – I think Stafford's going to have some problems this year with his health. He's already had some back stuff going on, and there could be more. So, I'm not that I want that to happen, but that could happen, and that's what's affected my decision-making on them. All right, tonight we have 8:15. We have the Vikings and the Bears. Interesting, J.J. McCarthy against the Bears team that brings over Ben Johnson as their head coach from Detroit that we just mentioned. I'm going to be very interested to see how the Bears do, but more importantly, I want to see how J.J. McCarthy does, because they also had a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. They chose not to because they believe in this guy who missed all of last year.
I want to see how J.J. McCarthy does. I want to see what Caleb Williams looks like with a new coordinator. We know how good that Ben Johnson and Jared Goff was as a duo. Does Caleb Williams get it all figured out? He was screaming and yelling because he couldn't throw the ball correctly into a net a couple of weeks ago during training camp. So are those frustrations real, or has Caleb Williams figured it out? This is a big game for Caleb because the noise is going to grow significant in Chicago. There's actual expectations in that town now. Where if J.J. McCarthy loses, okay, first start, on the road, whatever. Caleb and the Bears have to win this game.
Yeah, I think they need a fast start, but it's not going to be easy against Kevin O'Connell knows how to call games, and they really believe in J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see. We saw some good and some bad from him in the preseason. I think that's one worth watching just because of the Bears and whether or not they can take all that talent they have and move it forward.
Oh, and Flores is going to be coming after.
Oh, certainly.
He's going to be coming
should.
After Caleb Williams.
If I were Brian Flores, I'd do the same. And that's one of those guys that, even yesterday, I expected Aaron Rodgers to be blitzed a little bit more than they even blitzed him, because the numbers last year suggested that he wasn't all that good against the blitz, and that's the one way to rattle him a little bit if you're going to do it at all. They did it from time to time, but not enough to make a difference.
No, they really didn't need to blitz. They were getting pressure with 4 so consistently and so well. Maybe they thought that they didn't need to do it.
Maybe so, but... All right, we have more sound to play here, and you just got something in on Adam Schefter. He was on the McAfee show, and he was asked about the Steelers and their win.
And this what are your thoughts on the Steelers world?
You know, the Steelers won as many games this season after one game in which they allowed 30-plus points as they did in the previous 6 years. So they had gone 6 years without giving up that many points and scoring that many points to win. They won in an unconventional way. We talked during the offseason about how these were not your father's Steelers. They were going out, making trades, doing deals, making big-time acquisitions. Like, we never see the Steelers act like that. Well, guess what? We never see the Steelers win games in shootouts like this, the way that Aaron Rodgers did yesterday in New York against the Jets. Obviously, he took it personally, but they win 34-32. Chris Boswell, in the past, when some team has scored over 30 against Pittsburgh, which doesn't happen very much, they don't score over 30 to win that game. Yesterday was the first time they did that in 7 seasons. So clearly this team can do it a lot of different ways. And Rodgers is inspired, and Jalen Ramsey comes up there and lays the wood on Garrett Wilson to close out the game at the end of the game. Another one of those acquisitions. And so, yeah, that's a strong start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers showed everybody he could still play. Great big win for Pittsburgh.
Huge win for Pittsburgh. Huge win for their fans.
But I will say this. I don't know if he's right on that. He said 7 years. Didn't Bengals score in the 30s and they lost in that shootout game with Russell Wilson? Can you find the score of that game? Last year, right, when the Steelers went to Cincinnati, they won a game where they scored in the 40s, and I think the Bengals had it in the 30s.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't remember the final score on top of that.
It was 44-38.
Yeah, so that's wrong.
That number's wrong.
They gave up 38 points in a game they won. And so it wasn't. It was just last year they did that. But he's right that it's unconventional that they win this way. And if they continue to evolve this offense and they continue to be productive in the passing game, but they will need a running game. That's you know, I don't want to talk about this in an urgent state, Austin, but I will say this. Is there concern with the offensive line and the defensive line? Is there concern with a run game that needs to be better? Yeah, you want to see more. Just because the Jets are a team that I thought you could establish a little bit more of that. They didn't do it. I think this week you'll see more of that. I think you'll see more runs early in the game against Seattle.
Well, and I think that's kind of the game that both teams really want to play, right? Like, Seattle with Sam Darnold, they want to run the football with Kenneth Walker and, you know, establish that to be able to set up the pass. The Steelers want to be able to set up play action for Aaron Rodgers, so you need an effective running game. Especially after this last week, they didn't run the football very well. So, yeah, I would imagine that there's going to be pretty prevalent rushing attacks this Sunday on the North Shore.
All right. I want you to cue up for me Ray Fittipaldi's scorecard. Joe had teased to that, and I do want to get into it because Ray always has some good grades handed out. And we can give our take on what we think these grades should be. And I'm going to start with coaching, just because that's something we always talk about. I thought the coaching staff did a very good job in this game plan. They were kind of fluid with it. I think the objective coming into this was to run the ball, set that up. It didn't work all that way, so they immediately went to more passing, and they trusted Aaron Rodgers, as they should, someone who's a four-time MVP of the league. I would give the coaching staff in this one a B-plus or an A-minus, one of those two.
Yeah, I give the coaching staff, honestly, a B-minus. Just because Tomlin is the one that runs the defense. Like, Mike Tomlin is the one that has the oversay. He's the one that put this team together, and they flopped. The defense flopped in yesterday's game. They won. They made a play when they needed to late. They didn't play very well. On the flip side, the offense, Arthur Smith, dialed up some good things, was able to get away from an offensive line that struggled. I give him a B-. Ray gives them a C+.
Coaching in general,
C+. Ray mentioned
Ray Fittipaldi of the Post Gazette always comes out with that hot to take scorecard.
Yeah, Ray always, you know, is a tough grader. He says, as for the defense, Mike Tomlin predicted his unit could do historic things. Tomlin has supreme confidence in his defense, but it has started to play better, or its coach is going to have egg on his face. How about that?
There's no question. Normally, you don't want to put that kind of stuff out there. Just because it always comes back to haunt you when you say unleash hell in December and you don't do it, that quote resonates. So yeah, but I just think overall offensively, they did a pretty good job adjusting to what was available to them. Play calling was better there. So that's why my grade went the way it was. As far as quarterback, clearly an A or A plus. I don't know what else you can give it.
A plus for Aaron. Ray gives him an A plus as well.
All right, run game. Now this would be a C minus for me. You?
Yeah, I'm at a C minus. I think that's a good place to put it. Ray gives it just a C. Give Jaylen Warren credit for the touchdown catch, but the Steelers need more out of this group. Kenneth Gainwell was the starter. I think he's a good back.
He shouldn't be starting.
It should be more so Warren.
Right.
Like, I was okay with Gainwell playing the amount of snaps that he did in that matchup because I thought that, you know, it worked. I think he's a good player. But ultimately, where's Caleb Johnson? Like, he had two carries, and it was, like, in the fourth quarter. You didn't try to ease him in at all in the first half? Try to get him going? I mean, I know he's returning kicks.
Where was Roman Wilson? We didn't see him either, which leads us to wide receivers. No. So the grade on this is interesting to me because I thought, you know, DK Metcalf did a good job. He didn't get all that much action, I think, four catches. But he showed you what he could do when he gets the ball and turn on the speed. Austin was really good. We didn't see much else. I'm going to include the tight ends into this, too.
Yeah, that's all rated.
Yeah. So I would give them a B. You?
I give them a B+. I think ultimately, Jonnu did a couple of really nice things. I want to see more Freiermuth involved in the action, but they spread the ball around. There was no big mistakes. There were all good plays around. Plus Skoranek, you got to give him credit on special teams. He's a, you know, for what he was able to accomplish and put out there. I give them a B+, and Ray gives them a B+ as well.
Offensive line. This will be interesting, given the fact they gave up a lot of pressures and sacks for them. They didn't open up holes. Offensive line, we get a C- for me, maybe a D.
Oh, they get a D for me. They definitely get a D. They were not very good. Like, Broderick Jones, at the focal point of that, was a problem. Zach Frazier, I think, did fine. The rest of the line,
Sam Alu was not, you know, I mean, he needs to help out over there, too, on that left side. If Broderick Jones is going to have some problems, Sam Alu has to be, or maybe give him some chip help over there. Somebody's got to help out Broderick Jones if he's going to struggle early on.
Well, why don't they have a tight end go over there and help him out?
They could.
Why is nobody chipping for him?
Darnell Washington says if it ever came to the point in training camp, we asked him this about being an offensive lineman. He seemed to smile and say, yeah, if that happens, I think I can handle it. And I think he can, too.
Or why not Freiermuth? Just start at the line and chip.
All right, so now that moves into defense. I want to talk about their defensive line. And again, they got gouged. That would be a D or a D minus based on what they didn't do.
They get a D minus, and, you know, Bob, they could get an F. Like, the defensive line was not very good. Keanu Benton, is he going to get better? Like, where is Keanu Benton? I find myself asking that question all the time, especially during that game. Like, is Keanu Benton going to make a play of substance?
Well, yeah, he almost made an interception yesterday, which would have been a good athletic move, but he did not do what he was supposed to do on that defensive line. I thought Loudermilk made a nice play at the two-point conversion, which he stopped the first one by the Jets. But other than that, they need that defensive line to make life easier for the outside linebackers to do their job.
Yeah, they ran for 180 yards on that defensive line. It wasn't good. There were multiple gaps. And if you're trying to say that Derek Harmon, a rookie, is going to be able to come in here and fix it, look, you're going to have confidence in Derek Harmon. I don't have that much confidence in Derek Harmon.
What did Ray give him?
Ray gave them an F.
And he's a hard grader. I went D minus and I resisted F, but because I think they did a decent enough job on the passing plays that were successful. So I'm not going to go that hard, but I understand why he would do it. Linebackers, this includes all of them. I thought it was a tough day for Peyton Wilson.
Yep.
You know, they need to be better in the middle, especially if the defensive line itself can't do the job done. You know, I thought Highsmith did a pretty good job. I give them probably a C.
I give him a C as well. It was not a good day for the best coverage linebacker in the NFL, the self-proclaimed best coverage linebacker in the NFL, in Peyton Wilson. Like, Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt were good against the run. Where were they rushing the passer? Highsmith got home. Watt wasn't able to. They get a C.
All right, now we go to, let's do defensive backfield in general, just because, I mean, we're going to break it down, unless you want to do it, break it down.
Let's just do the secondary in general.
Secondary in general. You know, that's a hard one for me to gauge because I think their biggest problems were up front, more so than in the defensive back. I thought Darius Slay did not have a good day.
No.
He got beat one-on-one by Garrett Wilson, and I would expect that teams may look in his direction quite a bit. Joey Porter got injured in this game. Ramsey was good. I'd give him a C+.
If a Super Bowl team lets you go without really much resistance, there might be a reason for that. Darius Slay being 34 and getting just run right past by Garrett Wilson, that's giving me a little bit of pause. I'm wondering about Deshaun Elliott. What's his availability going to be? Without him, I think Chuck Clark played fine. They get a C.
Yeah, he was one of their leading tacklers. He came in and played pretty well, actually.
Yeah, they get a C. Yeah. They get a C plus.
Ray gave him what?
Ray gives him a C minus.
That was my grade. So I mean, there's still a lot of football coming on. This is 1 week. A lot of these guys did not play at all in the preseason, and I do think that has an impact. And maybe Joey Porter's injury, you know, soft tissue when you get hamstrings and things like that, it's because you haven't played all that much, and it happens with all teams in the first week of the season. All right, I want to remind you here that the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I forgot one, special teams. I'd have to give a slow start to special teams. I thought they didn't start all that well, but I have to give them an A because they forced a turnover, they made kicks, and I mean, when it came down to it, they were the difference in this game.
Yeah, they got
to
get an A+. Like, Waitman had one punt that was a little bit shaky, but Boz... And there's no warm-up for you, Boz. There's no easy chip shots. Come out and drill a 56-yarder and a 60-yard field goal. Not an easy way to start the year. And then for Gainwell to have the forced fumble on special teams, that was huge. That helped turn the game. They get an A+.
Yes, absolutely.
Ray gives them that, too.
Two big-time plays that they absolutely needed to have. Three, actually, when you count the 56-yarder as well. So that's our report card. Steelers Week 1 win 34-32. Seattle comes to town tomorrow. Mike Tomlin's press conference. You're here live right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We have more coming up. We'll try to squeeze in a call or two before we go.